The finding here in this tshuva does not at all relate to the second criteria that's found in the Gemara, name the criteria of the heartbeat. Secondly, that we're talking about a patient who has apparently irreversible loss of spontaneous respiration. That's the issue that Moshe is talking about, and apparently he relies on a diagnostic test to determine whether that can be reversed or cannot be reversed, a respiratory failure, inability to breathe spontaneously. And here Rav Moshe is talking about a description of a person who has a potentially, questionably reversible respiratory failure. And therefore he writes that the fact that he can't exhale or can't breathe does not necessarily qualify as a termination of death. Again, you have to go and administer that test where you inject this dye into his bloodstream, into the circulatory system. The issue is whether it's going to come to the brain, and that the question is whether the brainstem now is also at this point no longer functioning, and apparently the brainstem that controls independent respiration that no longer functions. And then the assumption is, what Moshe said, there's no connection between the body and the brainstem, and therefore it won't recover, and that assumes that the cessation of respiration is, shall we say, reversible, and the fact that other areas of the brain are still functioning is irrelevant according to this understanding, which is Avitendler's understanding of Moshe's tshuva. You hear what I'm saying? And therefore, the fact that, let's say, the patient should be considered dead at this point in time. Yeah.
So, I don't know if I remember the Gemara correctly, but did the Gemara say you put the feather there and you don't see the feather move at all, that was considered dead?
No, the Gemara does not say that, but it is mentioned by Poskin, Rashi, and Yuma. That's the Rashi we saw. Rashi spoke about where the body is not moving, and the Chatzam Sofer and others, and Rav Moshe refers to that actually, both aspects of the feather and also the piece of paper fluttering by the nostrils, etc. He does mention both that. See, the difficulty here is, again, I just want to point out that there's no perfect test of brain stem failure. That's really the problem.
It sounds and more that, effective than a feather.
What's that?
It sounds more effective than a feather.
Moshe, even though Rav Tendler describes, oh, chalamnu alecha, tzipinu, higaganu. Do you catch all my expressions?
Few.
What was that?
A few of them.
Good. I mentioned the other day, I can't find the tshuva, but I saw it already many years ago. Rav Chaim David Halevi, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. So he actually points out, again, when he was presented with this so-called nuke light scan, this test that Rav Moshe Feinstein, that our attendant spoke to Rav Moshe about, he presented the following problem. Namely, even the test shows that there's no flow, how do we know that, as I said, tomorrow another test will not come out and thereby somehow be more sensitive and might show that there is continued blood flow to the brain? So all this is, there are a lot of, shall we say, there's an assumption that we have a very accurate, perfect understanding of the medical reality over here, a ventilated patient with a continued heartbeat, which is also an assumption that we don't necessarily know to be true. It's unclear. That's all I'm trying to show you in this tshuva. There are a lot of areas that seem to be, how shall we say, open to question. That's my whole point the last 3 days regarding the analysis of this tshuva. Yeah, go ahead. And one other thing I mentioned yesterday, just mention again, the comparison that Rav Moshe makes to brain death and decapitation. He refers to the Mishnah in Olos. The name of the Mishnah speaks about Hutaz Rosho, where a person, the ISIS model, correct? So that assumption, again, Rav Moshe says that the fact that I did this test and the results are negative, that indicates that what? Nirkav Hamoach. What does it mean, Nirkav Hamoach? We said that the brain is rotted. And that's comparable to what? Decapitation. Hutaz Harosh. And the question, what does that mean? What is the nature of this analogy that Moshe draws between the two things? And obviously, Rabbi Tendler's maskana is that the brain already has begun to show physical signs of destruction, which is, I think, called in medical terms lysis, L-Y-S-I-S, that the brain is no longer functioning, and therefore, that's as if the head had been removed from the body, as if the person was decapitated. And this is itself very, very questionable. Yes, what do you want to say?
So if we had results of this test that said that this test was done on tons of patients, and none of them recovered. They were kept on life support after it was proven that their brainstems had died. Okay, and we knew that none of them came back after that. None of them were living after that. Could we say that that test was effective?
I mean, that is the assumption. Okay. Clearly, that is the assumption. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that the death of the brain, the brainstem assumes that again, if the brain has not completely rotted, but pashtus, it can't be compared to decapitation. There is a distinction. Even you will be maskim between decapitation and shall we say the near kavamoach that Moshe talks about over here.
He's saying it's as reversible as decapitation.
Right. That's correct.
Irreversible.
Okay, I mean, unless you read it in a non-literal way, unless you don't take Ramosha's analogy to be literal, namely, he doesn't mean literally that brainstem death is exactly the same as decapitation, because, but Pashas, it's not. It's
How
certainly
could you
not.
Take it literally?
What was that?
How could you take it literally?
You cannot. Okay, fine. let me just one or two more things as I said. Okay, so we more or less have gone over the entire tshuva, and one maskana which it seems pretty clear is that death is halakhically defined as when a person, the primary definition of death is when a person no longer is able to breathe spontaneously. Spontaneous respiration is no longer available. But again, the Mishnah in Olos that Rav Moshe refers to, and I wanted to Xerox that, I didn't do it, but I'm not going to be crazy anymore. We'll wait on this, just because we have a few more tshuvas. The problem is that it comes out, Rav Moshe Feinstein here is defining death in a way that was never discussed in any other halachic literature, or any other literature, rabbinic literature that we are familiar with. I'm not saying that he's not capable of doing so. Give me that look. I'm saying, but essentially, in another tshuva, as we say, and that's the tshuva that you xeroxed actually just now, Rav Moshe speaks of double murder. Means that the nafkamino here is walking donation. That's what we're talking about. In another tshuva, he calls it double murder. So the question is, how do you reconcile these two tshuvas that seem to be, one is not in sync, not in tandem with the other? And just to show you, in the tshuva, is that the one that you did?
Yeah.
Kuf Ayin Dalet, thank you. Look in this tshuva, Kuf Ayin Dalet. Here Moshe says explicitly, I'm going to have to find to you the exact lashon, but here he says that brain function, this is a long tshuva. He says over here, brain function is not relevant to determining death. You hear that? It is not the relevant factor to determining death. Why? Because there's no reference to it in Talmudic or rabbinic literature.
Which one came first? Which
tshuva? That's what you're asking in terms of this is Tavshin Chavches.
This one came first, right?
This one is written Tavshin Chavches. The one that which one? The one that we just read is Tav.
Is later.
Yeah. Correct.
So
okay.
So
say that. There are those who argue along those lines, but here he says very clearly, and the Mishnah in Olos is that which describes death. Death is decapitation. I mean, but however, were physiological decapitation an independent definition of death, he would have to differentiate between brain function and decapitation. But I'm pointing out to you, and let me just find, maybe you just hold this for a second so I can find the exact language just to show you. And let's read the beginning of this tshuva, Kuf Ayin Dalet. So hold off on this tshuva for a second. I'm turning now to Kuf Ayin Dalet, the one that you did, Matthew Shlita. So this is written to Hagoyin Rav Yitzchok Yaakov Weiss, the author of the Minchas Yitzchok. He was the Rav of Yerushalayim, the Rav of Manchester. Let's read the first two sections here, okay?
Should we restart the...
Yes. Bidvar Hashe'ela B'Hashtalat Alei B'Choleh. Correct, this is the question of a heart transplant. Hashtalat Alei. Meish echad, meish acher, obviously. Veitchilu rofim achadim lasod ze. Eini rotzel arich b'raid v'soros v'bepula. Ki ani omer kol amosu lefalfel lehavi rayus u'goreh shemashma shetzorach rayus mishum shelapashu kol kach lebo lehokil lehama shikil lemifrach v'af shiu bedvaro divre hevel maklis ze kvar v'yomu ki rabonu chalukim ze v'lachen ani omer v'tshuva l'aruch l'maise l'oshar klal l'odnu lefalfel. Okay, I'm not discussing this introduction. Rav Moshe, he says, my position here is chad v'chalak, clear. And he writes, next paragraph, kishtila saleh, this heart transplant, she eschidu harof from last of Zman Acheron, who ritzichas shtei nefashos mamish, That's what you pointed out already a number of days ago. What does he say? Double murder. And right. Shaharim biyadayim. First we kill. Esmi shelochu mimenu halev. Mainly to kill the donor. First to remove his heart. Ki adayin hu chai. He's still living. Lo rak al pidini atar shanim salon chashiv with misa. El after divi harofim sheish meim shemaginim haemes omrim shadayin hu chai. Even among the doctors who are still telling the truth, they will agree that he's still living. Abu mitzad rishusam, but because they are what? Rish utam, wicked. Ein choshim lichyot zesh, lichayuchim zesh shelo. They don't care about his life, because he's basically on his last legs. So we may as well.
Quality of life.
Quality of life, do him in. Shurak chayishov, v'yav chayyomim. V'gam, secondly, Horgim v'yadayim mechayim mamish, okay, he may have heart issues and a heart condition and all kinds of other heart issues that he has. But maybe he still might live for an extended period of time. Michael, he doesn't necessarily have to, shall we say, depart. They take his heart and they transplant another one. But he was talking about the very initial stages, that I do agree, of this Dr. Christian Barnard. I don't know if Rabbi Goldsmith remembers him. He was from South Africa. He did all the initial heart transplants. And then, of course, initially, the first 2 or 3 years, it was very, very difficult. People died. Left and right, not always right away, but sometimes after a period of time, and the body unfortunately developed
rejected it
until they had this, what they call that medicine, that anti-rejection medicine that they developed, Baruch Hashem, down to a science. Really amazing what medicine is doing. So Benny writes, Hokula Mesa Bizman Katsu Rubin Bizan Shoshos Uksasa Mesa Byam Watu Biaf. He's not going to live. Upela. Moshe is not only astounded; he's astounded at the government. This is very strong language, Rabbi Feinstein. Trust me, he does not speak this way. He says, "How could the government allow people to engage in double murder? A sanction of the government." You know what they should have done? Put these doctors on trial and accuse them of murder. Rabbi Feinstein. I don't think there's any tshuva like this in the entire Igros Moshe. He doesn't speak like this with Moshe at all. Anyone who knows him and knows his tshuvas and heard of him, he's the sweetest, softest, most refined godel that ever appeared on the scene in the last 100 years. But we're talking about human life. We're talking about human life. What?
Pretty harsh.
Yes, it is. Talking about life. Okay, so I just want to show you another thing, and now you have to, just for a moment, I have to find it, because